Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, hello and welcome to this Friday edition of Stand in the Gap Today and our monthly culture update with Dr. George Barna, who is now professor at and director of research of the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. And he's also the founder, just for clarification purposes, of the original Barna Research Group. And with that, I welcome you. I'm Sam Rohrer, and I'm going to be joined today by Pastor Gary Dull. In this program that I think is going to be extraordinarily informative, it's of enormous impact, that I can tell you, to all America, and to particularly, I would say, to all professing American Christians. The title I've chosen for today's program is Wake Up Time, Know God, Bible, or Church, the Millennial Pursuit. Well, in a series of reports from the American Worldview Inventory 2021, the latest marked release, marked as number three, if you go to that site, it says, and that's where we're going to be pulling information from today on the program, it's entitled there, The Seismic Generational Shift in Worldview. Millennials Seek a Nation Without God, Bible, and Churches. Wow, that's a powerful statement. Well, you know, over the last several years, it's been my privilege to interview George Barna on Stand in the Gap Today and our Stand in the Gap TV program, and to break the latest cultural research directly impacting the church in America and thereby affecting our nation, our freedom, and frankly, the entire world. And for information's sake, and to let you know right up front that the sobering information we're going to share today is not something brand new, but really something about which George and we here at the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Media have been sounding the alarm bells for years. And let me share just a few titles and when we previously covered some related research on this program. You can find all of the interviews with Dr. George Barna and this program on our website at standinthegapradio.com. And when you go there, just put in the phrase in the search area, just put in the name George Barna as an example, and you will pull up all of the programs, in which there are many. Now, let me just give you just a couple headlines. In April, a month ago, the title was this, America's New 94% Religion. And it says the reality and the implications. If you recall that, we identified that as syncretism, all right? I'm not going to get into it now, but February of this year, we talked about the Biden base worshiping at the altar of ambiguity. January of this year, our title was Pursuing National Unity, Common Ground, or a Common God. That was a great program. And then all the way back in June 2017, this was the title, A Serious Disconnect. 75% of all born-again Christians think that all people are basically good. You hear that? So we've been on this subject for a long time, and in every program, we've shared the findings, and we seek to make practical applications. And before I bring in Dr. George Barna right now in the program, I want to begin this program with the concluding words from George, summarizing his findings on this latest research. And it's in the last paragraph of this report. I'm going to read that right now, and it'll set up the program. George says this, it's hard to imagine a louder, clearer, and more direct challenge to the future of the Christian faith in the United States if Christian churches, pastors, schools, and individuals believe that a biblical Christian faith is important, not just for themselves, but also for our nation and the world beyond. Time is running out to aggressively and strategically act on that belief before those who so vehemently disagree succeed in destroying the freedom and opportunity to preserve the ways of God. a sobering statement. And with that, I want to welcome in right now to the program, George Barnett. George, thanks for being with us.
Oh, good to be with you again.
George, in the latest research that we're focusing on, you mentioned regularly, we've talked about it, you measure eight categories of beliefs and behaviors. But in this one, you found one primary area that you said across all researched groups, as you said, Americans are least likely to think and act biblically. That's why you set it up. What is that area of belief, and what's included in that that really so striking about this report?
Yeah, I mean, it's really gets to the heart of everything, because that is the category of what people think and do related to the Bible, truth, and morals. And so the idea here is whether or not people believe there is absolute moral truth, how truth gets defined, how God relates to truth, how we relate to the Bible, what we believe about the role of the Bible in our lives personally, in our society, in our culture, and how both truth and biblical principles relate to our moral choices and behaviors in a wide range of activities, whether we're talking about life, whether we're talking about possessions, whether we're talking about purpose. All of these kinds of things are wrapped together in this category of Bible truth and morals. And what we found is that only one out of every 10 Americans currently is consistently thinking and acting biblically in relation to the Bible truth and morals.
George, it's good to have you back with us today. And for the sake of our listeners today, as we talk about the findings of those who really hold to beliefs that threatens our freedoms, could you identify the four basic age groups that we're going to be talking about today, and then specifically the primary age group that we'll be focusing on throughout the program?
Yeah, sure, Gary. You know, when we look at generations, of course, there are some differing definitions of what generation is bounded by what years. But, you know, we use a pretty typical framework where we've got the builders generation, and those are people who currently are 76 years of age or older. They were born between 1927 and 1945. You've got the boomer generation. Almost everybody agrees that they were the people born between 1946 and 1964. And that today makes them in the 56 to 75 age category. One of the interesting things about them is for a long time, they were the largest generation numerically in America's history. They were followed by what's commonly called Generation X. There are other names, baby busters, et cetera. But Gen X, typically thought of as 1965 to 1983, which means that today they're in the 37 to 55 age group. And then you've got the millennials, a group that's getting a lot of attention today. They're our youngest adult generation. They're gaining more and more influence in our culture as they're taking on leadership positions and expressing themselves more widely. It's a group that's between 18 to 36 years of age, born 1984 through 2002. And interestingly about them, they are now the largest generation ever in the history of American society.
Okay, and with that, George, we've got to break away. Ladies and gentlemen, stay with us today. Wake up time, no God, Bible, or church. It's the millennial pursuit. We're talking about the latest research from George Barna, and we'll be back in just...
Do you long to make an impact for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God? Do you want to wisely steward the wealth God has given you? We at Capstone are dedicated to supporting you and your goals to do just that. Hello, I'm Nancy Hansen, founder and president of Capstone Legacy Foundation, located in Wayne, PA. For decades, my family and I have been donors, funding Christian ministries and services, doing all we can to further the cause of Christian stewardship and ministry. I am committed personally to helping you, your family, your business, or your ministry, just like we've been glad to do with our support of the American Pastors Network and our sponsorship of the Stand in the Gap program. So before you start a foundation, launch a ministry, or plan your giving, consult those whose only mission is to serve you. Call Capstone Legacy Foundation at 610-688-8890. or visit us at capstonelegacy.org.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God and His works. They create critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions ensure instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and create new solutions. That's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Today we conclude our week's emphasis on God's heroes and what made them great. Ever ask yourself, where are the Elishas, the Daniels, the Jobs, the Jeremiahs? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another Stand in the Gap Minute. We long for leaders who can fix our desperate problems. We expect great things from others. Yet I propose that we look in the mirror and ask ourselves the question, God, what do you expect from me? God expects you and me to see God by faith like Elisha and to trust God like Daniel. But He expects us to walk true to God with integrity like Job and speak the truth of God with courage like Jeremiah. Yes, in our dangerous days, we need godly leaders, pastors, fathers, mothers, children, elected officials. God expects us all to be those leaders. Join with us at Stand in the Gap Radio and TV in living out those qualities God ascribes to true heroes. Go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and stand with us.
Do we share an ancestor with chimps? This is Ken Ham, author and speaker on Genesis and all of the Bible's reliability. Evolutionists believe humans and chimps share a common ancestor. But did you know that apes and humans don't share the same number of chromosomes? This goes against evolutionary expectations. So they believe that in the past, two chromosomes fused in the lineage that eventually became us. But if this happened, certain DNA structures should appear twice in our chromosome number two. One would function, the other would not. Evolutionists point to places they believe those structures are found. But research shows those places actually contain working genes and important regulatory sequences, not broken old DNA structures. The evidence rejects evolution.
Get more answers when you visit our award-winning website at AnswersRadio.com. And check out our video streaming platform, Answers.tv, when you visit AnswersRadio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at StandInTheGapRadio.com.
Our special guest today on Stand in the Gap today is Dr. George Barna. This is our monthly cultural update focus. And our theme today is this, wake up time. No God, Bible, or church. The millennial pursuit. And we're looking at research just released by George Barnett, and I want you to give you the website. This is where you can go, and you can find this research, culturalresearchcenter.com, culturalresearchcenter.com. And this is report, release number 3, and you can pick it up, and I encourage you to do that. George, before we get into this next segment, start fleshing out the meat of the survey, I want to ask you a very quick question. God's called you into the area of doing research. You are producing research. We think it's important. We focus on it with you every month, and we're so thankful because it's a blessing to so many people. But could I just ask you just briefly, and make it short, from a biblical perspective, what is it that, biblical principle is it that you believe you are fulfilling in your mission in searching out information like this and making it public? George, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's a great question. I guess one of the things that gets me out of bed in the morning is understanding that, for instance, in Proverbs 29:18, God says, you know, without a vision from Him, His people will perish. So what's the vision that He's given to me? It relates, for instance, to 1 Chronicles 12:32, where it says how important it is to understand the times and know what to do. And, and Jesus echoed that in Matthew 16:3, where he talked about how important it is to interpret the signs of the times. And then Paul, I think, for me, amplified all of that in Acts 20:24 when he talked about, rephrasing what he said is, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it to finish the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. And so that's what drives me to do this. These are the gifts and skills that God has given to me. He's given me the opportunity to use those to advance his kingdom. And, when I see him after I die, I know that at least I've been true to that calling.
And ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you heard that, because we all, and on this program, we try to bring information forward for the purpose of edifying the church, helping us to know exactly what George was talking about. But I can also put out there as we go through the program and regularly that to whom much is given, much is required. When we are presented with information and God allows us to come into contact with the truth, we also at that time assume an obligation and a duty for how we're going to deal with it. So I want to share that. So as we listen, think about that. Now, throughout Scripture, and particularly the Old Testament and the history of the nation of Israel, God laid out his universal promises, such as is found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, where effectively he says, fear me and keep my commandments, and by so doing, you'll choose life and prosperity and security and long life. But God also made it clear that ignoring him, choosing other gods, and disobeying his orders for life and living would guarantee the exact opposite: death, judgment, economic hardship, threats and attack from the enemies. They'd experience bad weather, plagues, and shortened lives. And all through the Scripture, we encounter the times of blessing because the people obeyed. And then there would always arise, it seemed, another generation who knew not the Lord. And they'd pursue idolatry, selfish ambitions, and then bondage would come. Each generation can and will be identified by what they love, by what they hate, and how they choose to influence the culture. And George, that brings it right into this report, because in the report you said this, quote, the differences across generations paint a more alarming picture of how the Christian faith and biblical principles are perceived and embraced in our nation, end quote. And before we get into what the millennials, the focus in the next segment, you also said this, before those who so vehemently disagree succeed in destroying the freedom and opportunity to preserve the ways of God, is what you're saying. That is why we better wake up. So if you could, just briefly, a macro perspective, how did the past generations that you identified earlier, how did they shape our nation, and what foundational principles did they effectively lay down to which the millennials now seem to be so opposed?
Well, certainly one of those would be that they were generations who learned from prior generations. They looked at what they had done. Our earliest generations in this country wrote the Constitution based on biblical principles, trying to protect freedom and justice. And they developed and supported core institutions such as the family and churches to facilitate biblical applications in life. And so when you look at something like our oldest adult generation today, the builders, that's a generation that worked really hard at making sure that they raised their children to know and to pursue biblical values, to worship God, to rely upon God, to protect freedom, to protect the persecuted. And at the same time, they were also building churches. They were giving away significant amounts of their money. They, in schools, made sure that principles and values like respect were taught. So these were all biblical principles and Christian values that were really significant. And, things like prayer in the schools, prayer in public events, reading the Bible in the schools, land exemptions and tax breaks for churches, the legal code protecting biblical principles, whether it was freedom of religion, freedom of speech, other things, protecting the nuclear family and elements of family such as marriage. Those were all things that prior generations said, this is what honors the Lord. That's what's made America great. And therefore, we will commit ourselves to pursuing those kinds of ends in our culture.
You know, George, it's interesting what you've just said. And I can recall how the builders, of course, that's a generation beyond me, how they really did stand for those principles that you've just shared, and we've benefited from it, and I'm sad to say that we're getting away from it. But, you know, when we look at the builders, and of course that would be those who lived between 1927 and 1945, and then the boomers, that is those who lived or were born, I should say, between 1946 and 1964, according to your research, by a margin of 90% for the builders and 81% for the boomers, they believed in the golden rule. In other words, do unto others as you'd have others to do unto you. And yet, according to your research, only 48% of the millennials and slightly more of the Gen Xers believe in the golden rule. So my question to you is, according to your research, what was the greatest influence and source of worldview belief among the two groups, the millennials and the Gen Xers?
Well, when we look at what's influencing that, so much of it has to do with media. And so whether it's arts and entertainment or news media, most of the influence on their worldview is coming from that domain. And when you do content analysis, you know, you study the content or the substance of our movies, our television programs, our music, and so forth, the different media, as well as the messages that are now given out in news. It used to be that news was supposed to be objective reporting. Now it's become very subjective. And so there's a theme or a narrative that newscasters typically want to convey these days. In fact, people even choose a news network based on the narrative they know that that news network is going to provide. Well, all of that has taken a toll because we tend to learn things when we get repeated exposure to ideas. And so it begins to become familiar to us, then it resonates with us, and then we embrace it and we embody it. And so that's what's been happening to a large extent. Government, also because it codifies those kinds of values into laws, and then it enforces them. Government also has substantial influence. So with the millennials, because they haven't had very much influence from family and from church, they've really been greatly influenced by other aspects of our culture, particularly arts and entertainment and news media and the government.
And George, let me kind of reverse that question and say, all right, if it was the media and those things you're talking about that's influenced the millennial generation, which we'll talk about next segment, let's go back to the boomers and the builders who held a different view. What influenced their thinking most significantly? Can you track the waning of that influence and the rise, for instance, of the millennial view? Is there a linkage there?
Well, there certainly is, Sam. And what we found was with builders in particular, boomers to some extent, boomers are interesting. I mean, that'd be a discussion in itself. But it really was family and church that had a greater impact, a much greater impact on the lives of builders and boomers. Schools also have a dramatic impact, but when you study the schools, public schools in particular, what you find is there's been a dramatic shift, particularly with the impact of teachers' unions in terms of the content that has been exposed to school students in the public schools that has driven them away from more traditional biblical values.
So you're saying family, church, and schools were the primary influence of builders and boomers, which laid down a more biblical worldview foundation. And as those waned, that gave rise to the worldview held by the millennials, which basically replaced it, and it kind of basically tracked and walked together, pretty much is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, and, you know, those media that are so important today, they were important in the past, although they weren't as prolific. But what they were trying to do is to support church and family.
There you go, today. Ladies and gentlemen. With that, we'll just stop it, George, because of time. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes all aspects of the culture working together to make a wide statement. That's what we're talking about. When we come back, we're going to go into how the reshaping of America with no God, Bible, and churches is actually underway, driven by the millennials. Pearl from Pennsylvania says, I'm a widow struggling on Social Security, but here's a gift for you for Stand in the Gap. There's no other program like yours. From South Carolina, Leah writes, I'm praying for needed resources, greater audience, and God to further bless you. I get so much from your program. You guys are great. Keep it up. Then David from Junction City, Oregon writes, when I was so down listening to the news, I prayed to God, turned on my radio, and your show came on. You've enlightened my eyes and helped me so very much. I wait up every night for your program on CSN Radio. From around the nation, God is blessing people through this program. Many are standing with us. Will you? Pray and partner financially by signing up for our weekly email and giving online at standinthegapradio.com or by writing us at Stand in the Gap Radio, 83 West Main Street, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520.
Here's Twyla Braze with today's Health Freedom Minute.
The federal government is changing its tune on two more items. First, for reasons unknown, Dr. Fauci is now open to a federal investigation of China for the development of COVID-19. Second, the CDC seems to be changing its definition of a case. For over a year, they've counted all PCR-positive tests, even those that it took up to 45 cycles to find a speck of virus. But now that the CDC is investigating breakthrough COVID-19 cases after vaccination, they only want specimens where the virus was found after 28 or fewer cycles. Apparently, these are the only tests they see as positive. Scientists have been cautioning against high cycle thresholds for a year. So how many true cases have there actually been? This is something that we will discover in years to come.
Help us secure health freedom for all. Visit cchfreedom.org. That's cchfreedom.org.
There's a silent but deadly cult spreading like a cancer among us. It's already martyred millions around the world and forced others into sexual slavery. That deadly cult is Islam. Pretending to be something it is not, Islam masquerades as peace but means submission. Yet most Americans are oblivious to this danger within. You can now learn the truth. You can get an attractive copy of What Every Christian Must Know About Islam this week for a gift of any amount from Stand in the Gap Radio. With key facts from previous radio programs and guests on Stand in the Gap today, including former Muslims, now Christians, former FBI agents, and preachers, this quick read booklet tells you what you need to know, simply and clearly. What Every Christian Must Know About Islam, an original publication of the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Radio. Yours now for a gift of any amount. Just go to standinthegapradio.com to order or write us at Stand in the Gap Radio, Box 83, West Main Street, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Sam Rohr, accompanied by Gary Dahl today, and our special guest, Dr. George Barna, who is currently serving as the Director of Research at the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. Their website with all the information and the research from what we're talking about today on all that is available can be found at that site of culturalresearchcenter.com. Our title today is Wake Up Time, No God, Bible, or Church, the Millennial Pursuit. Now, we're going to get into the meat now of what it is that the millennials are talking about and why George has raised the question that time is running out. And we'll walk through that question and actually come to a challenge in the end. We're going to ask George to actually give us a challenge. What we do now about all these things that we're finding. But when I talk about, when I think about generational changes, I think one passage, Judges chapter 2 and portions of verses 10 to 13, the Bible there in many places makes statements like this, and here's just a composite of a few of the portions of the verses I pulled out. And it says this, and all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, the former generation. And it says, and there arose another generation after them who knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done. And the people did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, and they went after other gods, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Well, because God does not change, and we know truth does not change because God is truth, and neither does human nature change, the history of civilizations also don't change. And America is no exception. Because these things don't change, the consequences are enormous and life-changing and freedom-altering when we forsake those foundations and another generation arises who does not fear the Lord. So, George, I'd like to now move into the reshaping of America, as you phrased it, by primarily the millennial generation. We've referred to what the builders and the boomers kind of laid down and how, and that was shaped by the church, their family, and even schools at that point, because it embodied a more integrated biblical worldview. In your report, you highlight a section that you entitled there, "These Choices Have Serious Consequences." And then you make the statement, and I want to build my question off of this. You make the statement, quote, "Millennials have clearly gone farther than any recent generation in cutting ties with traditional Christian views and normative biblical teaching," end quote. That sounds to me like the passage from Judges that I read. If you could, walk us now into these most basic Christian views and biblical principles which are being severed that you identified. And you also referred to it as not just tying, cutting them. You actually, I think, used the word vehemently disagrees with them. So build that out and identify what we're talking about here.
Well, Sam, as you know, with the American Worldview Inventory through which we measure all of this, we've got more than four dozen worldview indicators that we look at year after year after year and track changes. Some of the ones that emerged as being the most significant changes are things like people's definition of success. Of course, a biblical definition would be consistent obedience to God. But with millennials, what we see is that their most likely definition of success in life has nothing to do with God at all, nothing to do with obedience, nothing to do with biblical principles. It's more so about happiness, personal freedom, or productivity without oppression. That's a new one emerging on the list in terms of success definitions, and that's a Marxist construct. And so we do see that particular worldview creeping more into the thinking of our youngest generation. We could look at morality, and what we're finding is that rather than turning to the scriptures and getting guidance in terms of what is the right thing to do in situations, whether we're talking about abortion, premarital sex, theft, lying, whatever it might be, millennials instead are making their choices based on their emotions, how they feel about any of those kinds of activities. We find that they're the generation that's the most likely to be in this category that I call the don'ts. And the don'ts is the fastest growing faith group in America. It's people who either don't believe that God exists, they don't know if God exists, or they don't care if he exists. And so millennials are leading that charge, kind of an anti-God charge. They're also the generation most likely to abandon the idea that we are sinful people, that when we're born, there's this thing that's often called original sin. We're stained by sin. We need to be saved from the consequences of that sin and our continuing sins by Jesus Christ. They're the least likely to embrace that. And even the idea of purpose in life. The biblical idea, of course, would be that you're here to know, love, and serve God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, right out of the scriptures. And yet millennials would say, no. The reason for living is to feel satisfied with yourself, to achieve happiness, to feel comfortable about your life. And so once again, we've got two diametrically opposed views of what life is about and how it's to be lived.
You know, George, this is some tremendous information, and on one hand, it concerns me greatly, as I know that it does you as well. but it also ought to challenge us to get out the truth. And I'm amazed to see how thoughts have changed so rapidly down through the generations that have that have taken people away from biblical truth and the understanding of who God is, what God expects, and how God operates. But you know, Sam has entitled this particular program today, Wake Up, No God, No Bible, No Church. And that is the word N-O, not K-N-O-W, but no to God, no to the Bible, and no to the church. And so my question for you here is that if the millennials are rejecting God in such a way, and rejecting the Bible and rejecting the church, what are they putting in the place of God, the Bible, and the church?
Yeah, it's a great question, because you can't have a vacuum if you take those things out. There's got to be something to replace it. So as we've been studying millennials, what we see is that they're taking God out of the equation and inserting themselves in his place. And so instead of life being about God, it's about me. And the Bible teaches that when we know, love, and serve God with all of our mind, strength, we're going to experience joy in life. Doesn't mean we won't have hardships, but we'll have the joy of knowing we're doing this in partnership with God. And yet millennials aren't interested in joy. They're interested in happiness. We look at the traditional perspective, and that was that you gain more by serving other people. And service, of course, is one of the hallmarks of the Christian faith. It's what Jesus embodied during his entire ministry. But millennials, rather than being concerned about service, tend to be more concerned about self-satisfaction. Can they do things that bring themselves a good feeling about their life, about where they're headed, about their reputation, etc.? We find that the Christian ideal would be one of sacrifice. The millennial idea is one of comfort. And when we look at millennials, they're not so much about inclusive community, which is what Christianity tries to do. We try to love all people, try to fold all people into that community of faith, people who know truth and God's love and compassion and mercy. Instead, they're all about qualified community. You can be part of my group, my tribe, my segment, if you believe the same things I do, if you're willing to commit to the same things I commit to, etc.
George, those are extraordinarily significant. Boy, we could build them out a lot deeper, but I got to shift now to this and say, right? Now, you've identified God out, self in. Serving out, self-satisfaction in. Joy out, happiness in. Sacrifice out, comfort in. Inclusion out, qualified inclusion in. Amazing. The logical question is why? Why are the millennials willing to walk away, or are walking away, and thereby shaping a new culture without truth, without God, and without the church? Why?
Well, and I know we've only got a little time here, but I would say there's two different ways to answer that. The spiritual way is to say the bottom line is that we're sinners, and what's happening is our sin is becoming deeper and more sophisticated. It's been more deeply integrated into who we are as individuals and who we are as a culture. And so what's really happening is that the spiritual battle is getting more intense. The sociological background I have, if I wanted to provide a cultural response, I would say, well, it's because we've lost that sense of consensus in our culture, where the cultural consensus had previously been built around scriptural principles and truths. There was, an understanding that we all bought into. We had a common vision, a shared vision. But now what we basically have is spiritual, moral, and intellectual anarchy, where we no longer have that consensus. And so it is becoming every person for him or herself.
And you did an amazing job. I didn't think that you would get all of those in, George, but when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to break away in just a moment. You're saying, boy, there's a lot of information here. There is a lot of information. That's why I want you to go to the website, read this report for yourself, culturalresearchcenter.com. You can find it. And then, again, I encourage you to go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, and just put in the search bar there, George Barna. You will find a long list of programs that we have done with him that basically span the breadth of the things that we're talking about. And if you listen to them and walk through them, you will get an education bar none. A tremendous wealth of information. But when we come back, like we try to do always, make application. There's a challenge to the church. All of you are listening, you know the truth. As George said, time is running out. So in light of these things, how should we then think and live? We'll talk about that next.
In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God told the fathers, "Diligently teach your children the ways of God." BJU Press K-12 textbooks are designed to help parents do just that. Whether you teach your children at home, online, or in Christian school, make sure they're getting an integrated biblical worldview instruction. In our nation's early days, Pennsylvania's William Penn understood God's requirement for freedom and national blessing, and he emphasized the necessity of parents and government leaders providing for a virtuous or godly education of the youth. Sadly, our children in government schools today are being taught historical falsehoods, immorality, and evolution. Like a roaring lion, the devil's stealing our children's hearts and minds through deceit and lies. But a rigorous, godly education can still raise up Daniels and Josephs, Esthers and Ruths. A friend of freedom and your partner in godly K-12 education, BJU Press is here for you. Don't take chances with your children. Visit BJUPress.com for your best option. For years, faithful Christians formed nonprofit foundations or trusts to preserve their ability to generously give to their favorite causes or ministries, even after their death. The problem? Professional managers, pressure from left-wing agendas, and even family members with opposing views hijacked the original donor intent. This is sad, but true. But this subversion of purpose can be prevented. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I'm glad to recommend Capstone Legacy Foundation in Wayne, Pennsylvania, an experienced and capable Christian community foundation. Established to help you set up a ministry, a giving structure guaranteed not to be hijacked, or a place you can donate cash or non-cash assets like stocks, bonds, or property, Capstone's designed to help you achieve immediate tax savings and give you needed time to decide how to prayerfully allocate your giving. Contact Capstone at 610-688-8890 or visit them at capstonelegacy.org.
Which one of these is real courage? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Recently, Oscar-nominated actress Ellen Page, who very publicly came out as transgender over the past year, shared a series of topless photos showing where her breasts used to be before surgery. Last week, 60 Minutes told the story of other people who had transitioned but then had changed their minds and detransitioned. Look, it's not hard to guess which story in this cultural moment is going to be celebrated as courageous and which one is being at best ignored and at worst criticized. And it's all exactly backwards. Page's story aligns with the new gender ideology, which is now accepted as absolute and unquestionable by most cultural power centers. Her choices have been widely celebrated, but the people covered by 60 Minutes aren't even supposed to exist. Their stories contradict the cure-all promises made about transitioning. Their choices are not being celebrated. I think it's pretty clear which of these folks have shown true courage. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street.
This is Tim Barton from Wall Builders with another moment from American history. Many today wrongly claim our founding fathers were largely atheists, agnostics, and deists. Certainly some founders were less religious than others, but even they were not irreligious. Consider Benjamin Franklin, definitely one of the least religious among them, yet when the delegates at the Constitutional Convention hit an impasse in their deliberations, it was Franklin who called them to prayer, invoking numerous scriptures to make his point. As he reminded them, God governs in the affairs of men, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. So, even the least religious of America's founders urged public prayer and dependence on God. For more information about the faith of the founding fathers, go to wallbuilders.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
In this final segment out today, we're going to try and do, as we always do, take information that we presented and try and make some additional practical application. Certain information we're talking about today falls in that category. Our guest, George Barna, believes that what he does and has been doing for so long is a calling. It's providing of information, and because it is true, it's truth, so that primarily, I'm just adding to what he said earlier, but primarily so that God's people, you who are listening to this program, can have information so that we are not ignorant, so that we understand the times in which we live, which is exactly what we're told to do. And can I submit why we do this program and our TV program? It's so that we can take what is happening around us, integrate biblical principles and the truth of what is with a purpose in mind. At the end of the day, it's so that we can better glorify God and accomplish the mission that He's called each one of us to do, and that is to be a witness of the light and the truth. Now, in every age, in every civilization, culture has assumed a dominant worldview. Every culture of every past civilization has been reflected by a dominant worldview and a belief system commensurate with that worldview. That's why we spent so much time talking about worldview and biblical worldview, and that's behind what George has been trying to uncover and help us to grasp. Your worldview determines everything about you. And in no age, however, has truth ever disappeared completely. God has certainly never gone away, right? And those who have chosen to fear God and keep His commandments, which is what King Solomon summarized in Ecclesiastes 12:13, the whole duty of man, fear God and keep His commandments, that group of people have never disappeared completely either. But there are certainly times when those numbers of those true God-fearing and faithful have ebbed and flowed in number. The faithful remnant, as the Scripture refers, has always been there, the salt and the light of every age, in every age. And the remnant has always been used of God in great ways. Well, that remnant remains today. The question is, are you part of that number? And if so, what should you be thinking and how should you be living now? And in light of the information today and what you hear in this program, hopefully every day. So, George, let's go back to application now of research, because as you say, you do the research, but it's with an intent. It does no good if it just sits on the shelf. So in the past program, actually back in 2017, I asked you a question back then based on research that you had done then that showed about 74%, I think, of the Americans at that point said they were Christians. But yet we all know that's not possible. Otherwise, this nation would look different. And in that, you said back then about 50% or so, give or plus a little bit, of those who said they had had an encounter with Christ did not actually believe that Jesus Christ led a perfectly sinless earthly life, which makes that person's relationship to Christ more than suspect. And I ask you a question then at that point. If you were to take all the research that you're putting together and you break out the views of what people say they are and then what they actually believe, I ask you then, how many people out there who say they're Christians in this category are actually true believers? You gave a number back in 2017, George, about 7%. My question to you, 7%, my question is, has that changed? And what challenge should that sobering reality present to people listening today in general? And I'm going to say to pastors specifically who are listening right now.
Well, you know, there's a lot of different ways of measuring things. And really, I think what we're talking about is the difference between being a fan of Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus. There are a lot of people who are fans of the Lord. But when we talk about people who are really disciples, those who will consistently obey His principles, will consistently love other people, will consistently produce spiritual fruit to advance God's kingdom, the three things that Jesus described as being the hallmarks of disciples when He was teaching them in the book of John. You know, I would say, yeah, we're probably around 6% who could be described as true disciples today. But again, when you look at it generationally, as we were alluding to earlier in the program, only 4% of millennials have a biblical worldview. And in fact, when you break that generation in half, the latter half of that generation, it's only 2%. So we're moving in the wrong direction, which says to me, okay, well, whatever it is that's gotten us to this point where we have these abysmal kinds of outcomes and outlooks. We've got to change the ministry process that got us there, because it's not leading to increase, it's leading to decrease. And so I would encourage those in leadership positions and every Christian really to rethink our methods without ever compromising God's message. We're in a society today where people really don't even understand the nature of the gospel message. And so our current methods and commitments are inadequate to get us to where we need to be, where we ought to be. It's imperative that we think about these things and be very strategic and intentional in making impactful and influential ministry a priority in our lives.
George, our time is getting rather short here in the program today. This has been a tremendous discussion. And so in the last couple of minutes that we have left, please speak to the church at large and the pastors in the pulpits and those who are of the remnant, and tell everybody, tell us all how we should rearrange our lives and how we should think and how should we live in light of the fact that time really is running out as it relates to where we are in society today.
Well, you know, Gary, I think there are several things to think about. Number one is that because we know a worldview is formed when we're children, you know, before the age of 18, or before the age of 13, parents and grandparents have a huge responsibility to invest spiritually in the lives of the children that they can influence. And so that's a thought. Secondly, churches need to rethink what they're doing. If it's parents that are called biblically to have that influence on the lives of children, and it's children whose lives are being influenced, then churches need to be thinking about how do we equip parents to do that particular task. Rather than worrying about how do we fill seats, build a bigger campus, let's think about how we can prepare parents and grandparents to disciple their children to be champions for Jesus. I would say for all of us as believers, we've got to be thinking about in this day and age, because community is so critical, belonging and feeling attached is critical in our culture. We have to think about what kind of relationships are we building, and are we always ready to give an answer for why we believe what we believe, why we live the way we live, why we have the hope that we hope. It's the first Peter 3:15 principle of always be prepared. And I'd say also that although I do it every day, everybody listening needs to exegete the culture at all times. That is, tear it apart, figure out what's driving it, what it believes, what it's trying to accomplish. Does it square with the scriptures? And if not, what can we do to push it in a more appropriate direction? And I think daily that means that we need to be praying to know and to do God's will, because if we don't do that, we're not doing his work.
George, fantastic, and there's no way for me to summarize other than the fact to thank you for this. And ladies and gentlemen, go again, pick up this research. I encourage you to do that, culturalresearchcenter.com, our website, standinthegapradio.com, and pull up this program again and the previous ones and listen to them. And can I just offer one quick challenge myself? If all of us listening right now were to be more thinking about looking in the mirror and in our own heart and saying, what am I doing in relationship to fearing God and obeying his commands? If we all did that, things would change even right there. Let's look so much at others. Let's look at ourselves and let us who know the truth really, really live it. Have a great weekend. Be in God's house. We'll see you back here on Monday.
If you like today's program, tell a friend. You'll also want to hear Stand in the Gap Weekend and watch the nationally syndicated Stand in the Gap TV program. We present the news of the day truthfully, carefully, and consistently from a biblical worldview and constitutional perspective. If you're hungry for the truth, visit standinthegapmedia.org to find all our programs and the stations that carry them. While you're there, be sure to download our free app and support this ministry with your best financial gift. Then join us again right here Monday through Friday for another program of Stand in the Gap Today.